Welcome back to the First Time Finish podcast. No special guests this week except for my fellow co-founders and pillars of the football community, Ninad and Ben. Good morning, guys. Good afternoon, I should say, rather.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tom. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Tom.
Well, good evening to you, Ninad, I should say. Yeah, not bad. Not too bad. Some good games last week. Anything catch your eye in particular?
I definitely wouldn't say the United saw say that game caught my eye. I sort of regretted staying up for the game. Ended up being a nil-nil, but you know, solid result. We're through to the next round. I guess that's all that matters.
Absolutely. What about you, Ben?
I mean, I was pretty pleased with my choice last night. Watching Slavia knock Leicester out, I think it was a great game. Really impressed with the way Slavia played, and I'm looking forward to them playing against Steven Gerrard's Rangers.
Absolutely, that should be a really good game. That's a really big fixture across the board. I think United Milan takes probably the pick of the headlines, but I think Zagreb Tottenham might be a really interesting one. It's going to be very exciting. So to get into today's topic, we're conducting a deep dive across Europe's top 20 leagues, looking for the most exciting talents from each of these leagues. So we're excluding the top five leagues, so no Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A or Ligue 1. The aim here is to be as niche and original in our picks as possible and hopefully spark some interest in some unearthed gems. 15 leagues to go through, one player from each. So if you guys are ready, we'll begin this, what is likely to be a very long, drawn-out, statistical deep dive. If you guys are ready.
Yeah, let's go for it, Tom.
Okay, brilliant. So, Ninad, we'll start with you. Mm-hmm. Your first pick, a bit about them, please.
Yeah, so my first pick is a player from the game that Ben just mentioned, from Slavia's game, Abdallah Sima. He was really impressive yesterday against Leicester. We were just discussing about him before we started recording. Really impressive player, stands out in a lot of important attacking metrics, I would say. First and foremost, when I was doing a bit of research on him, what stood out for me was how dominant he is in his goal scoring numbers. I mean, he averages almost a goal per game, 0.91 goals per 90 and 0.25 assists per 90. So he's not someone who's, I don't think he's someone who's particularly known for his playmaking ability. So I let the assists slide a bit, but then the goal scoring numbers are extremely impressive. For his age and the fact that he's only recently come to the league. So it's hugely impressive what he's done so far.
I mean, just over a year ago, he was playing in the French fifth division. So remarkable, really, that now he's playing in the Europa League and knocking out Premier League opposition.
Yeah.
I think it's a good pick from the Czech League. He's from the same team as Tomáš Souček and Kufal at West Ham. And I feel like he's going to be the next big thing in terms of coming through Slavia Prague, Prague's ranks. What I was really impressed with him yesterday is, yes, he's very direct. He's good going forward. He has lots of pace and energy, but he does the same sort of, he puts in the same energy into his defensive work as well. He tracked back so many times and he slid in sometimes. He won tackles, he got interceptions, and I was really impressed with, you know, considering how young he is, he kind of carried the game and took it in his stride. And I think I'm excited to see more of him in the Europa League.
Yeah, you've said it there, Tom. I think the physicality that he brings to the game as well, standing at 6 feet two, he has a good movement and he is a tricky customer to deal with. I think out wide, when fullbacks come up against him, he's not someone who will dribble past you, but then physically he's very intimidating, I think. And you know, the fact that he's so young and he still has a lot of room to grow only makes his potential all the more exciting. Imagining that he could move to a top five league, in the coming years, and then grow even further. So Yeah, really, really fascinating player.
Tom said he has a player comparison, so I'm eager to hear it.
Oh yeah, Tom, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, firstly, I just want to say how much I thought he was great last night. I also loved the Slavia Prague celebrations at full time last night. Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw it, but they FaceTimed Thomas Suchek at the full time whistle in his full kit. I thought that was a really cool kind of touch from someone who's getting a bit of a reputation as a fan playing rather than just a player. I think he reminds me, I don't know what you guys think of this, but he reminds me of CS Wamangatuka. And there are a few reasons for this. I think that kind of long-legged, long stride that he has, he can pick up pace so quickly. And he's a great finisher like Wamangatuka, but he also has this knack of scoring with quite scruffy finishes. He's not a particularly aesthetic player, but he manages to somehow, like that thing, like the kind of thing that Raheem Sterling was kind of labelled with at a young age, where he'd score goals despite not always having the cleanest connection. He'd managed to squeeze it in. And yeah, just the way he was kind of going backwards and forwards yesterday, he just reminds me of Wamangatuka. I don't know what you guys think of that.
I can see it, to be fair. I think, especially because Wamangatuka plays in that sort of fullback, like wide fullback role sometimes with Stuttgart. And yeah, I can see the comparisons.
Yeah, I think it's also the fact that Wamangatuka is organically a centre forward by trade. And you can tell that in the same way that Seema is, you know, a centre forward. And yeah, I don't know what it was. I was just watching him yesterday, and he just looked like someone who'd been brought up and taught to play in the same way. I mean, both have come from the lower French divisions as well. Yeah, I was very excited to kind of lead that comparison with you guys. But
I think that's a very interesting comparison you made there, Tom. And yeah, there are quite a few similarities in the way that they play and how they attack. The penalty area coming in from the right hand side. Some very interesting similarities that they both share. And yeah, I'm hoping to see more of Seema in a better league, like how Wamangatuka has settled into the Bundesliga with such in such a great manner. Hopefully, Seema can do that as well.
I don't think it'll be very long either. I mean, I know he's 19. Is he 19?
Yeah, he's still 19. So.
Yeah, so he probably could do with another year developing, but with what he's already shown in a European competition, I don't think that's very likely. I think you'll probably see him in Germany or France probably in the next few years. Ben, your first pick and where they are from?
Ooh, I kind of chose like the nichest leagues, I feel like. I'm going to go with the Cypriot League first.
Wow.
And I'm going to go with Onni Valikari, a Finnish international. He was actually born in Scotland, interestingly, because he's the son of a former Motherwell and Derby County player, Simo Valikari. Wow. I don't know if people remember the recent France-Finland game where Finland won 2-0. He actually scored one of the goals. But I think what stands out for me, he's 21 and he's the second top goal scorer in the Cypriot League, has the third most goals and assists, and he's not really playing in the top side. He's playing in a mid-table side. So he has 15 goals for Paphos FC, who've only scored 30 goals in the league. He's essentially scored half of their goals. And I think it comes with a caveat because he does score a lot of penalties. And normally he plays in like the number 10 role. But for me, I can see him potentially being a striker in the future because he's a very physical player. And I feel like if you look at the goals that aren't a penalties that he scores, they're usually in the box. And I know for Finland, he's played in midfield. But for me, I can see him as a really interesting sort of number nine.
I couldn't get over how young he looked. Like in the clips I watched, like he's quite tall, isn't he? He looks about 6 foot, 6 foot one, but he he has the face of about a 13-year-old, and yet with such a powerful strike on him.
Yeah, I think I'm surprised he's still in the Cypriot League. He's being linked with lots of moves abroad, and I think it will only be a matter of time. There's been quite a few players from the Cypriot League in recent times who've gone on to the Bundesliga or gone on to greater things, and I think he's going to be another one who's going to progress into one of the better leagues.
What is the kind of... I'm not too aware of what the progression is for Cypriot, but is the Bundesliga, is that quite a natural progression route for players from that league?
So from like my Hungarian background, we've seen Roland Schalay. He's gone to Freiburg. It took him a while to get going at Freiburg, but I think he's done very well this season. It takes a few seasons to get adjusted because it is a big step up still from the Cypriot League. Another one who's just in January moved from the Cypriot League to Fenerbahce is Attila Salehi, and he's been really good for Fenerbahce this season. So I think it's obviously not going to be he's not going to play in La Liga or probably the Premier League, but I can see him going to any of the other leagues, like a lower league, Serie A sides. I think it was linked to the Rangers as well in the past. I could see that happening.
That would make the make the man out of him if there's any doubt about him being too lightweight. I think playing up in Scotland would definitely write that. Ninad, unless you had any kind of comments on Valakari.
I haven't had the chance to see much of him, but he definitely sounds like a very excited player. I was wondering who you had in mind in terms of your player comparison for him in particular.
That's a tough one. I feel like he hasn't really defined his primary position at the moment. He plays in midfield, sometimes plays as a number 10. And like I keep saying, I think he's going to be a center forward in the future. It's hard to compare him to anyone. He's very good physically. He's good on the ball. He's a good finisher. I feel like I can't really think of any names to compare him to, but he's definitely talented.
Very interesting. For my first pick, I've kind of got slightly more mainstream or players of greater common knowledge than you guys. So I'll start in Portugal, and my pick is Ángel Gomes, formerly of Manchester United. He left United last year after he only made five senior appearances, I think, and he joined Lille, who immediately loaned him out to Boa Vista, who are 17th out of 18 in the Liga NOS. So they are a struggling team. And this is despite having, so they've got Adil Rami playing for them and Javi Garcia, formerly of Man City.
Wow.
Which names that kind of take me back to FIFA 14, really, more than any specific football memory. But Gomez has been... Well, he's been great. He's got 4 goals and 5 assists this season from an expected goals and assists of 5.67. That's explained by some of the outrageous goals he scored. He's got an eye for spectacular long range efforts from outside the penalty area. He's making or attempting nearly 5 dribbles a game, 42% success. So he's that's not too bad, particularly in a team that's struggling and playing in their own half a lot of the time. Although he is far behind a fellow Englishman or former Premier League club player in Marcus Edwards, who is attempting 9.2 dribbles at Vitória at about a 58% success rate. That's wild. That's incredible. But yeah, Gomez has playing predominantly as a winger, sort of cutting inside and taking shots. But he's incredibly accurate. He's got a 33% on target rate, which, bearing in mind that so many of these efforts are coming from outside the box, is really impressive. And for when the team are relying so heavily on him for these contributions, I think that's incredibly impressive for a young player. And yeah, I think whether this is showing United what they could have had, I'm not sure, because it's not like they're, you know, short of options at left wing. But it does show what a fine player he's turning out to be.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. I completely agree with what you said there. I think the talent was never the question with Angel there. And I think it was just the question of him finding a place in the squad, which, as we've seen, is difficult for even someone like Donny van de Beek to do, let alone Gomez to come in and sort of get game time in his preferred position. But when I sort of got to know that he would be moving to Boavista, I was really concerned that he would, you know, be in an environment where he would be under a lot of pressure in terms of creating chances and, you know, doing carrying the team in a sense, in a strictly creative sense. But from what you've just mentioned there in terms of his statistics, it's really impressive and really encouraging to hear that, you know, he's doing quite well. And, you know, I personally wish only well for him, because he's a very, very, very nice young player. And yeah, long may success continue there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of parallel. Well, him and fellow Man United academy player in Tahith Chong both left at, did they leave the same season or a season apart? It was a similar
It was a similar year. I think it was the same year, but a few months apart. Yeah.
Yeah, and they both ended up at. I know Gomez obviously went to Lille, who are, as we speak, top of Ligue 1. But Chong went to, was it Werder Bremen, didn't he?
Werder Bremen. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Then he finished his loan move and he went. He went to the Belgian league, I think. Yeah,
I think he's at Bruges. Is it Bruges at the moment? Mm-hmm. But the kind of the contrast in their fortunes is really quite huge, and that's both playing in poor teams. You know, Werder Bremen wasn't exactly a perfect breeding ground for Chong to show what he was capable of, because they're a struggling Bundesliga team. But in Portugal, Gomez is in equally. Or even a much poorer team, arguably, than Werder Bremen are in the context of the Bundesliga, and he's thriving. Like the responsibility he's taking on his shoulders, he's clearly someone who's very aware of his own ability, you know. And he rejected the contracts that United put in play in front of him, so he was clear that he wanted to get game time. And the way he plays, he accepts the ball to feet a lot, and he makes stuff happen. He drives his team forward. Is someone who looks incredibly determined to show their own potential, and yeah, he's just very fun to watch as well. Yeah, that's Angel Gomez. Right, Nenad, back to you.
Yeah. Well, so for my second pick, I'm gonna go with someone who sort of really made his name in the Champions League this season with Shakhtar Donetsk, this Mano Solomon. Really exciting player. He scored in both of Shakhtar's games against Real Madrid, scoring the third goal in their 3-2 victory and scoring in the 2-0 victory as well. So really interesting player. The very first thing that sort of struck me about him is how hard he works in terms of progressing the ball. He looks ferociously determined to get closer to dangerous areas. And when he does get to those areas, I think because of the momentum that he generates when he's running towards defenses or running into open spaces, because of that momentum, his final touch is a bit, is let down because of that. His final touch is not as delicate as necessary, or his final shot is not as good as required. But to talk a little bit more about him, he is a very confident dribbler. He He likes to, quickly switch the ball between his feet when the defenders are trying to pressure him. He likes to cut inside from the left. He's predominantly left winger, but also comfortable playing on the right. So he's good at both feet. And, he is someone who doesn't, who's someone, who is not someone you normally see cutting to the byline. He mainly tries to attack the half spaces by progressing or carrying the ball from deeper areas. And, just a thoroughly fun player to watch as well. And not to jump on the player comparison gun there, but I think, some of what I've seen from him, aside from the end product, it reminds me a lot about early stages Chelsea, Eden Hazard, in terms of his low center of gravity, the way he takes on players, and how quick he is while dribbling. He's incredibly sharp as well in terms of the decision making on the ball. And yeah, like I said, he does it with such intensity and with such great momentum. Sometimes his final shot can look a little bit off because of that. But yeah, apart from those things, he is a very exciting player and definitely one to keep an eye on. And I think Arsenal will link to him as well. Really interested in him and getting him to the Emirates. And yeah, it should be interesting to see how his career develops.
What's his ceiling, do you reckon? Do you think he's ready for a move to Arsenal?
I wouldn't think so. The thing I think the best thing for him would probably be to I honestly, out of the top five leagues at the moment, I always see the Bundesliga as a natural step of progression for any player, just because of the highly technical teams that are there at the moment, and in terms of just the level of play there. The Premier League is somewhere you arrive when you are sort of ready to take the final step, that is. So before that final step is taken, I think it could be very interesting if he moves to the Bundesliga, for example. Say at a team off the top of my head, he could do really well at Borussia Dortmund, for example, or Mönchengladbach, or even Stuttgart. If they decide to, sell one of their many prized assets this season. So there's definitely a lot of potential there, but I don't think this is the right time for him to move to the Premier League, because at least in terms of Arsenal, if you think about it, Martinelli is still there, and he, will be, in the first team discussion for quite some time. And I don't think Solomon would fancy going to Arsenal just yet, or the Premier League for that matter. But yeah, it should be interesting to see if he decides to move to somewhere like the Bundesliga.
I think it's kind of difficult for him because Shakhtar obviously are a club that can give players quite high wages, and they will be demanding a lot of money for him because he's one of their prized assets. So it will be difficult for him to get a move like that's the right move for him, but also like financially viable for the clubs involved. So I think it'll be interesting to see who will move for him. I think he'll probably needs to be a bit more productive to make him the move up. But he definitely has all the tools to do very well. I think he's still very young as well, isn't he? He's
Yeah, he's 20,
20.
yeah. 20, he's
Yeah.
20, yeah.
Yeah, so he's very young still.
The thing with Shakhtar as well is they have so many exciting players this season. They have Marcus Antonio, they have Tete, and they have Manuel Solomon. So, I mean, realistically, if they wish to sell, they could have a really successful window. Or they could, choose to keep someone like Solomon and maybe then sell him a year later. But yeah, let's see how it goes.
Yeah, you're probably right in that you say it's not almost definitely right when you say it's too early for him to move to the Premier League. But the style in which he plays, he reminds me of a Wolves-esque type winger in terms of that those sort of players who receive the ball to feet but can go inside or outside. And I was watching him and I couldn't decide whether he reminded me of Neto or Podence, but he's kind of like both of them because they're quite all similar. a similar molding, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah, he looks a really fun. He does look a really fun player. Ben, over to you for your second selection.
Right, so I've gone with the Swiss League, and my pick is from FC St. Gallen, and his name is Leonidas Stergiou. He's 18 at the moment, but already has 66 first-team appearances, which is remarkable for an 18-year-old.
That's incredible.
He plays as a centre-back, but he can also play as a right-back. I think just because, I mean, he's still 18, so he can grow, but his height, he's only 1.81 metres. So because of his height, I do see his future being as a right-back, even though he's predominantly played as a centre-back so far. What I really like about him is he's got an abundance of pace, and he's really comfortable on the ball as well. So he's good at progressing the ball forward. He's good at bringing the ball forward. But equally, he's also very good defensively. He won 70% of his defensive duels in the Swiss League this season, which is very solid again. I think he's... Yeah, I'm excited about him. Before doing my research, I didn't know a lot about him, but as I was doing my research and as I was watching his games, I really like the way he plays.
Yeah, absolutely. He seems very mature in his decision making. Like, I think when you're looking at young, particularly teenage centre backs, it's very easy to find the flashiness of those players quite attractive. You know, like a big slide tackle, or a tracking back to intercept a counter attack, things like that really catch the eye and make for good YouTube highlights. But with Stergiou, he seems like a really mature, like he can anticipate space and danger very well, which I think is quite rare for an 18-year-old.
I think as well, he's eligible to play for Greece and the Swiss national team, so I feel like they'll be both fighting to get him on a senior appearance and get him tied down to one of those nationalities. So it'll be interesting to see which one he picks, because I feel like he's going to go far. I don't think he'll be in the Swiss league for long.
Yeah, Ben, I was just wondering, what do you think is probably the best move for him going forward? Do you think maybe another season in the Swiss League or a move elsewhere would do him good?
See, normally I'd say another season in the Swiss League, but he's already played 66 games. So I feel like maybe he might be ready for the step up. And I don't think it should be a major step up, but something like the Eredivisie or the Belgium League, just to try him out and maybe move to a Europa League club. And a slightly higher level, and he'll obviously be in front of more scouts as well. I think he's definitely ready for that, even this summer.
Yeah, should be fun to see where he ends up. Tom, what's your pick for this?
Okay, so I went to the Netherlands to the Eredivisie for this next pick for probably the player with the highest ceiling of any amongst these 15 players, and it's very hard to pick in the Netherlands. Actually, like the number of exciting young talents playing at a range of different teams. You know, you got Kurt Meiners, Stengs, Marlon, Vindau, Madueke, Captain Birch. Oh, so many. But in the end, I went for Anthony of Ajax, who. If anyone has been on football Twitter over the past 5-6 months, will have seen endless clips of Anthony, because he's a joy to watch. He's a 20-year-old Brazilian. He was signed in February 2020 for 18 million, but he didn't appear for Ajax in his first season because obviously the season was cut short because of the pandemic. So this season is really his first at the club. His first full season, and He has 16 goals and assists. His 8 goals have come from an XG of 3.51, which kind of tells you a bit about the types of shots he's taking on. Completing nearly 5 dribbles. But he's also making 3.5 recoveries in the opposition half. So he's not an obviously hard-working player. You don't watch him and think that he's particularly tenacious, that he tears after players. But I think he's quite smart in how he presses, which is very important for any attacker in an Ajax team. His dribbles do fall in the Champions League. They kind of go from in the Eredivisie, about 5 in the Eredivisie to about 2.5 in the Champions League. Well, I guess that's to be expected. And he's just a player that when you watch him and he's on the ball, everything else seems to stop. And he's undoubtedly got an enormous future at a top 5 league, I would say.
There's talk of him getting a Brazil call-up. Do you think he's ready for that?
Yes. Yeah, I'd say so. But I don't think... I mean, like, feel free to correct me, but I'm not sure on how strong their right-wing options are. Because he's a left-footer playing on the right wing, and they have so much talent at left wing. But I'm not sure. I'm trying to think who would actually play right wing for Brazil.
I would suppose probably Rafinha, given his form for Leeds.
Rafinha, at least
I hope so.
Yeah, I think it might be a straight shootout between Rafinha and Antony. I think Richarlison played there, didn't he, in some internationals last year. I think he played out there, but I'm not sure on how many natural right wingers or naturally left-footed right-wingers are available to Brazil. I think in Rafinha and Antony, those are two extremely talented options.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be an interesting Brazilian team in the future, possibly with Richarlison up front. That's going to be loads of fun to watch, and obviously with Neymar in the mix still as well.
Yeah, Rodrigo, Vinicius, like just so many. And there's something of... It would be a bit too obvious to say that Antony reminds me of Neymar because of he's an inverted winger who who completes a lot of difficult skill manoeuvres. But there's also a bit of something of Robinho about him as well, like his short stature and his want to break into the box. At times, I imagine... I haven't watched a whole lot of Ajax, but I can imagine when it doesn't come off, it can be quite infuriating. He's that type of player, but when it comes off, he just looks like a world beater. I wouldn't say any top 5 league is out of his comfort zone, given the amount of talent he has, even at this stage, even at only 20. There we have it. Antony of Ajax. Keep an eye out. Ninad, back to you.
Right. Okay. So my next pick is another left winger, but a different sort of left winger in CSKA Moscow's Kaidera Ejuke. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. So Ejuke is a really, really rapid player. You have to really focus when he starts to run on the ball. He's incredibly rapid once he gets going. He is another who sort of has a low center of gravity. He loves to dribble, loves to get past his marker, and likes to progress the ball from deeper areas, much like Manu Solomon. So just to tell you a little bit about his love for dribbling, he attempts 11 dribbles per 90, has done so far in the league, with a success rate of 39%, which is to be expected when you attempt those many dribbles, obviously. Yeah. But it just points to the fact that he is this is a very thoroughly fun player to watch and incredibly rapid. As I said before, he broke through the ranks at Vålerenga in Norway, and then had a single season in the Dutch league with Eredivisie Wien, where he scored 9 goals and assisted 4 times. So a thoroughly interesting and exciting player to watch, and a Nigerian international as well. So that's another Nigerian player to add to their growing list. I feel like it's sort of really expanded in recent years. The amount of attacking talent in Nigeria have this generation of Nigerian talents really is, you know, something to look out for. And Ejuke is another one who is a part of that exciting list. He, you know, when you look at him play and when he looks to shoot, he has a very particular style when he shoots. He looks to wrap his foot around the ball when he tries to shoot, and tries a particular style of finesse, right? And normally, when he's dribbling, he's extremely quick with it. And you wouldn't imagine that in that situation, the player would be able to shift his feet quickly enough to get that kind of shot away. But he does. And he almost always tries to do that. And it's really fun to watch him do that. But I'm a little bit worried about his over-reliance on that. But I'm sure that's something that, you know, the coaches at CSKA Moscow will help him improve. But yeah, that's Ejuke for you guys. A very thoroughly exciting player. Excellent dribbler. Needs to improve on his end product, I feel, in terms of goal scoring. But when he scores delicious goals.
I was actually going to ask you about that. Why do you... Because his end product wasn't always as poor as it is for CSKA Moscow.
Yeah.
Obviously, at Heerenveen and Vålerenga, he scored quite regularly. So why do you think that is, that suddenly he's moved to CSKA and he's not scoring as much?
I mean, I think the first reason off the top of my head could be that he's still adjusting and acclimatizing to the Russian league. The physical nature of the Russian league is such, and he's finding it difficult to get those pockets of space that he needs to score from the type of shots that he takes. Because, you know, he, like I said, he predominantly favors a particular type of shot, and to get those kind of goals that he requires, he needs a little bit more space. And I think he'll come good as the season goes on, and once he, you know, settles better into the league, and I think we'll see much better end product from him, like we saw at Heerenveen and Vålerenga in the near future.
Do you think? I mean, it's by no means old.
Being
23.
Yeah.
Do you think that the time for him to make a move to, like, obviously, like, to move to a top five league is it needs to happen soon if he's to get the time to acclimatize and kind of adjust and show what he's capable of?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very fair point. And yeah, I agree. I think he probably has one more year left in him. That is if he decides to stay in Russia. He probably has 1 year left to decide before, you know, he has to make a decision whether to move into top five leagues or not, because clearly there's a lot of talent there in him. And I think he could do really well in one of the Premier League, you know, mid-table teams. Off the top of my head, I don't know, I'm just thinking of West Ham at the moment. I think he could do really well at West Ham. He could add bags of pace again to that right-hand side that they have. Not that Jared Bowen hasn't, you know, been doing well, but he could just add an extra dimension to their attack. I could see him do well at a team like Newcastle, for example, because they, again, are someone that rely on Alisson Maxima, who shares a lot of you know, similarities with Ejuke. You know, scintillating pace, exciting dribbling, and the low center of gravity as well. So there are some similarities there, and yeah, I think he could do well in a mid-table team. But beyond that, it really depends on how he performs there, and whether or not he can secure a better move than that.
I was thinking Brighton. I thought he looks like exactly the sort of thing that Brighton could do with,
yeah,
like pacey forward.
Absolutely, yeah. I would have said Brighton as well, but then they, you know, they just have brought back Percy Tau from his loan move. So I don't think he'd have the space to develop as much at Brighton, because they already have Tau there. So it should be interesting to see if he does move to the Premier League and where he goes.
And I suppose one thing that Brighton don't need is another forward who who doesn't, you know, who is let's say erratic to be kind.
True,
Yeah,
true.
no, he looked really fun of what I saw of him. He looked like a really interesting player. Ben, where in the continent are you taking us now?
I'm going to take you guys to Croatia and
Lovely.
Dinamo Zagreb, who's produced some very exciting attacking midfielders in the past, namely Luka Modric, Mateo Kovacic, and a few others. And I'm going to go on the same theme. And my pick is Lovro Majer. He has the most smart passes for under 21 free players in the league. And you can see that when he plays, his ability to pick out a through ball is really something else. But he's quite productive as well. Well, he has 15 goals and assists in 27 games for this season. And that's really impressive, especially considering he has, I think, five in 8 games now in the Europa League too. So he's proved he can do it at a higher level than just the Croatian League. He's quite versatile, which I like about him. He can play on the wing, but he can also play a sort of holding midfield role as well as a number 10. People often call him the next Modric, but I think that's just because of his hairstyle, to be honest. It kind of looks like him, but he's a lot taller, he's a lot more physical. He's actually quite good defensively. He participates in 7.8 defensive duels and wins 55% of them, which for a midfielder is not bad. And he's just turned 23 in January. I think he's ready for the next step. I don't know what that is, but I think he's definitely ready to move on from Dinamo.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear, Ben. I was sort of wondering, you mentioned that he is extremely versatile and can play in a number of positions. Where do you think his skill set is best suited to? In that deeper Modric role, or do you think he can play a bit further up the pitch?
I think he's probably best suited to just being a sort of number eight, because he's quite good defensively. He's also brilliant technically. So I think that's kind of the role for him. That brings the best out of him because you bring out his defensive qualities, but you also bring out the technical aspects, and he's still able to thread those through balls into the attackers. I think what's important is he's a player who needs movement in front of him. He's a player who needs fast players to feed the ball into, a bit like a Thiago, really. And so he needs to find the right team that play that sort of style where you have attackers running in behind defenses.
Yeah, I thought from watching him, he reminded me a bit of Dele Alli, in the sense that, oh, a younger Dele Alli before he kind of morphed into more of a centre forward or second striker role. But maybe it's just because of the kind of the abundance of back heels and kind of little flicks and little passes around the corner. Yeah, I don't know what you think about that, but I thought he looked a really interesting player.
No, I can see that. And interestingly, he's going to be playing against Tottenham as well in the sort of Luka Modric derby, dare I say. But yeah, I'm looking for it's going to be a big test for him because Tottenham obviously are very physical midfielders, depending on who Mourinho chooses to play. But it's going to be a big test for him to see how he measures up against the likes of Højbjerg and Ndombele if they're going to play.
Might even be Lo Celso as well, because I think
Yeah.
by the time that tie comes around, I think Lo Celso might have got some minutes under his belt. So like three very different challenges for him. Yeah, very interesting player. For my third choice, I'm going to Belgium and Club Brugge for Senegalese centre-back Odilon Kossounou, who has just turns 20 this year. He is 6'2", which is kind of it's imposing without being massive for a centre-back. But watching him, you'd think he was a lot taller than that, which is strange to say, but you know, 6'2" is like that's quite an impressive height for a 20-year-old. But he does look even taller than that. He's incredibly fast. He's his the way he times tackles of both on standing foot and diving in are very impressive. There's something of Eric Bailly about him, but I mean that in the kind of the best sense rather than any sense of recklessness. In Champions League, he completed 40 passes per game, which, you know, in a side that aren't going to dominate many Champions League games, that's quite a significant volume. 60% aerial success rate domestically, which is decent. It's okay. It's nothing impressive. But again, you have to remember he's only 20. And I guess for someone of over 6 foot, you'd probably want it to be a bit higher than that if you were going to kind of take him to a bigger league. But in the league again, he won 70.5% of his defensive duels, which is really impressive. And I think the most eye-catching thing about him in the Champions League was that he was coming up against Ciro Immobile and Erling Haaland, who are, you know, two of the most prolific, troublesome strikers on the continent. And he just didn't look out of his depth, which I think for a 20-year-old is all you can really ask for, because I think in those situations it's very easy for a very young centre-back to get swamped and overrun by a more experienced striker. I mean, yeah, you have to look at like Reece Williams and his limited experience in the Premier League to see how that can happen. But Kossounou is just he looks a really solid centre-back who could become a lot more than that.
Yeah, I think what is really interesting is he's from the Ivory Coast, and the Ivory Coast have quite a fair few decent defensive options now. With him, I think Zagadou from Dortmund has recently switched allegiance to the Ivory Coast as well. And on top of that, Eric Bailly as well. So loads of very physical centre-backs in that setup. I think I'm excited to see how that will kind of... how all those players will be moulded together to create a team. But I think the Ivory Coast, you know, their golden generation has gone, but this new generation could be on track to repeat that.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to clear up as well. I said Senegalese, I meant Ivorian. Kossounou is from the Ivory Coast, not Senegal. So thank you for picking up on that.
Didn't even notice, but yeah, he has four caps for the Ivory Coast, I believe. So,
oh wow, okay,
definitely Ivorian.
That's interesting. Tom, I was wondering, where do you think he needs to improve his game, and like what sort of areas do you think he needs to improve in?
I'd say his aerial success rate does need to come up. I think he does need to win more headers particularly in a league like the Premier League, where centre-backs are facing a lot of long balls and a lot of crosses, like aerial crosses. He is tall and he does look even taller, but he might maybe be a little bit lightweight at the moment for the Premier League. So I'd say Germany. I'd say I look at the way that Leipzig have grown Konate and Mukiele as players who are of quite a similar mould. Konate in particular is a very similar mould to Kossounou. So I'd say Germany, and particularly if I was to pinpoint one team, probably Leipzig as a perfect place to cultivate him to become a really top centre back, which I think he'll become. I do think he's that good. He does look incredibly impressive already, if slightly unfinished. That's all I'd probably have to say about that.
Interesting.
Ninad, your fourth selection.
Yeah, so I'm gonna stick to defensive areas like you've just did there, Tom. And I'm gonna go for Strahinja Erakovic. Really interesting young defender who plays for Svena Zvezda in Serbia. He predominantly plays as a right-sided center back. Can also play as a left defender. He's a right-footed player, so him playing at left back was something I thought really interesting. You know that his team found utility in him at that position. So in a very small sample size in the Europa League, he was really impressive in terms of his defensive dual winning rate. So I thought it's worthwhile looking into how he does in the league. And it was no surprise that, you know, he wins a lot of his defensive duels, 70.97%, in fact, and attempting 10.5 defensive duels per 90. So he is someone who is really strong in terms of his defensive ability. It's a really encouraging sign for starters. And then when you look beyond his defensive ability, his in terms of his ball progression, he is not someone who would sort of stride forward with the ball when he is playing as part of the back four or the back three. But he does have, you know, a good range of passing in him. Completes 90% of his passes and attempts 10 progressive passes per 90, or has averaged so far in the league. And yeah, that is another impressive part of his game. One thing I would say though is because he's still young, he has a slightly lanky frame. But judging by the research that I've done on him and everything that's been said about him, he's rated really highly by the people at Red Star. Some even arguing that he could, you know, get them even more money than Marco Grujic did when he joined Liverpool. And he has been likened to Nemanja Vidic. I can see why, because, any Serbian defender that does well, it's like, you know, when an Argentine player does well in Argentina, they're immediately likened to Maradona or Messi.
Yeah.
There is reason to believe here that Erakovic has the tools to get to Vidic's level, but I definitely think he needs to improve in terms of his physicality and needs to bulk up a lot if he wants to be, if he personally wants to be someone like Vidic. But even if he doesn't, you know, be that aggressive, aggressive Vidic type of defender, the other parts of his game are really impressive so far. And it should be interesting to see how he develops, or whether he continues to be, a left back, or does he, stay in the center of the defense going forward.
I think what I really liked with the physicality, first of all, I think I remember I watched him a year and a half ago now against Hungary, mm-hmm. and he looks about half the size he is now. So he must have grown a lot in the space of a year. And I think naturally he will build up that muscle in time. Yeah, he's still very young. I'm really impressed with the way he reads the game. He has amazing hair, kind of reminds you of David Luiz. So definitely doesn't compare with Vidic on that one. He reads the game brilliantly. He's just a very solid defender. And I think he's got Dejan Stankovic as the Red Star coach there, who's obviously been at Inter as a Champions League winner. And he's got the best sort of role model to look up to and to coach him. And in time, I feel like he is going to be one who's going to go right to the top. Potentially could partner Milenkovic in the Serbian starting 11 in the future.
Yeah, that should be really interesting if that happens.
Yeah, definitely. Ninad, you said that he primarily plays as a right-sided centre-back, but can play at, did you say left back or left side, or left side centre back?
Yeah, you left back. Yeah, yeah, left back. Yeah.
Do you think that's, is that a plus point on his report sheet in the sense that he's very versatile, or do you think it's that because he's young, it's quite difficult to work out what type of defender he's going to be yet?
No, I think when you're young and it's really difficult to sort of conclusively, you know, judge defenders as such, you know, and place them in their best position. But I think when it comes to someone like Rakovic, it's definitely a plus point for him that he has the ability to play off the left. When he's right, you know, when he's right, he is predominantly a right-footed player, which I think is really interesting because there are not a lot of left backs that I can think of off the top of my head that, you know, are predominantly right-footed and are used, there at on the left at the left back position. But yeah, in terms of Rakovic, I think it's a plus point that for now he has the ability to play there. But long term, just judging by what Ben has said there as well, he reads the game really well, and if he wants to improve on that and sort of build himself to be a better defender physically, he needs to be used at centre back more often. And long term, should his prospects are better in that position, definitely.
I think it's just natural at the moment. You think, he's probably not physically composing enough to play in the centre back roles, but Red Star do see the talent in him. So I think they're just playing him in that left back role to get adjusted to the league and professional football. But I think in the future he's definitely going to be a centre back. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Ben, back to you.
Right, keeping with the centre back theme, I'm gonna pick probably my favorite pick, and it's a biased pick, but I'm gonna pick Attila Szalai, who's being called a Hungarian Virgil van Dijk. This is my pick from Turkey though, so he's just come to Fenerbahce, and he's been he's kind of instantly become a fan favorite at Fenerbahce. He signed around the same time as Ozil, but it's really Szalai who's getting the praises so far and not Ozil. He's won 75% of his defensive duels so far in since he started out in Fenerbahce. And I think it was roughly the same because he came from the Cypriot League and he had roughly had the same sort of domination in the Cypriot League as well. On top of that, he also wins 62.5% of his aerial duels, which is pretty impressive. You can see why people have made the Van Dijk comparisons. He's quite fast. I think on top of just like how intelligent he is as a centre-back, he reads the game well. But on top of that, he's also very good on the ball. And I think that comes from... So he started out at Rapid Wien as a left back. He came to play in the Hungarian League for a brief time. He also played there as a left back. And so there's a lot of experience. He was kind of forced to go forward as a youngster. And he's, as a result, now that he's moved to the more natural centre-back role where he's always played, he's just very confident in the ball. He makes a lot of ball progressions. I think he makes around 8 or 9 passes per 90 into the final third.
Wow.
I wasn't like 100% sure about him. He's kind of just burst onto the scene. A lot of his early years were sort of a learning curve, kind of just getting used to the game, and he played in various roles, but he's 22 now, and he's really come into the game and he's really emerged as a very talented centre back. He transformed Hungary completely. It's one of the main reasons why Hungary are in the top division of the Nations League. He was incredible in the qualification for the Euros as well. And I'm excited to see him partnering up with Willy Orban in the Euros, which will be probably the biggest test for him as a defender, since Hungary are going up against France, Germany and Portugal. So probably some of the best, well, probably one, three of the best attacks in the world. So yeah, that's going to be a big test for him, but I think he's good enough to come through that.
I think the it's kind of like the new thing to name someone the next Virgil van Dijk, like a centre-back who is quite tall, can pass incredibly well. But I think with Salah, I do think he does resemble van Dijk in his physique, but also in that way he has endless time on the ball, even under pressure, and can pick out like the wing backs or the wingers like with a long diagonal pass. Is very much like van Dijk. So I don't think, it sounds kind of preposterous to say so, but I don't think it's that unreasonable a comparison.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, like I said, I'm looking forward to him being tested more. Obviously, even in the Turkish league for Fenerbahce, it's not the strongest of leagues. So I would like to see him. I want to see how he fares against those, the Mbappes and the Ronaldos and Timo Werners and Serge Gnabry's when he's going up against them at the Euros. I want to see how he fares, because I think that's going to be the best sort of way to measure his talent, even though it's unfair considering he's going to be playing in a relatively poor Hungarian side. But I think it'll be interesting to see how he does there. That's going to make or break him potentially.
Ben, I was sort of interested to know, you mentioned that he could partner Willy Orban at the World Cup, at the Euros, sorry. Do you think he's the sort of centre-back who's the perfect complement to Orban's skill set, wherein he, you know, would let someone, his partner, you know, do the rest of the defensive work and cover larger areas?
I think so. I think they kind of complement each other really well, because obviously Salah has the pace. Orban doesn't necessarily have the pace, but they both have a really good reading of the game. And on top of that, the way Hungary plays, we normally have a third centre-back as well. So we play with a back three, and Orban's usually the deep-lying one, and Salah is the one who progresses the ball forward. And obviously both of them are very commanding in the air. Even Salah, I think, has already got an assist from a set piece at Fenerbahce. And obviously Orban has scored quite a few from set pieces for Leipzig this season and for Hungary. So I think I'm going to be confident, and I might regret to say this, but I don't think Hungary will be conceding from set pieces potentially. In the Euros, it's a difficult partnership to kind of go up against physically in the air, for sure.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm going to take you guys to Scotland next, and really, there's only one standout candidate really for this. Not that there isn't a lot of talent in the Scottish league, but just that there is one that is very clearly clear of the others, and that's Odson Edouard of Celtic. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot that hasn't already been said about Edouard. 23, came through the ranks at PSG, has 15 goals and 2 assists in the Scottish Championship this year. He has 3 goals and 6 in the Europa League, which is impressive on its own. But when you consider that this is probably the poorest Celtic side for, wow, I don't know.
As long as we can remember, honestly.
Yeah, as in potentially within my lifetime, is hugely impressive. And his stats kind of demonstrate that he's, you know, the top striker in Scotland, nearly 4 shots a game. This kind of halves in the Europa League. But again, that's going to happen when this is a poor Celtic team in a European competition where they did anything but show the best of themselves. I think he could be incredibly versatile for a team in a top five league. He's an out and out striker, but the way that he makes runs beyond the defensive line, he can pull wide. He also drops deep and links very well, which I don't think gets spoken about a lot. And he just seems like a very intuitive striker that would act as a very good replacement for a number of teams' strikers. And I would go as far as say he's probably one of, if not the brightest talent to come out of Scotland for a very long time.
If I'm correct, isn't he still eligible to play for the under-21s at the European Championships that are happening? I think the threshold is being born in 98.
Really? Wow, I didn't know that.
Just because of the pandemic, he would have been eligible, but because of the pandemic delayed the Euros, I think he's still eligible, and he has a remarkable record at under-21 level. Yeah. I think it's 15 goals in 10 games or something. So
that's mad.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
So if he does play, I mean, good luck to everyone else at that competition. but he's definitely, I think he's kind of outgrown Celtic now. He definitely needs to. I'm wondering what team or where could he end up potentially? Is he bound for the Premier League, or is he going to make a potentially smarter move by going to the Bundesliga or the back home to his native France?
It's a tough one. I think there are a couple. I think he's made for the Premier League, and I think there are a lot of teams that he would improve instantly. So again, I'm going to say Brighton. And you look at their need for a clinical striker. Edouard is absolutely that. But he's also not just clinical. He is involved in build up, and he constructs moves very well. And I think that's what Graham Potter wants, and to some extent is getting out of Mopay. But I think Edouard is just a level above that. I'd also say, should Villa lose Ollie Watkins, I think Edouard would be a perfect replacement for him. I'd say Leicester as a Jamie Vardy replacement, because even if Vardy continues for another year, I think Edouard would be an upgrade on Iheanacho, and I think he's more versatile than Iheanacho.
He's very familiar with Rodgers as well, so
exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think he'd be that expensive. His contract runs out next year. Like, Celtic have allowed him to get near the end of the final year of his contract, which means I don't think they'll be able to command a huge fee for him, which might then interest teams outside the Premier League. Because I think if he'd been in a situation where he just signed a contract, then the might of the mid-table Premier League teams might pull through. But I think of maybe even Lyon. I think if Depay leaves, then Edouard would be kind of following the path of Moussa Dembele, who looks like I know he's on loan at Athletic at the moment, but there's a high chance that they'll activate that clause where he signs for 30 million at the end of the season. Again, I think he'd be perfect there, but I think the Premier League, I think I'd even suggest Arsenal maybe. I can't see...
Yeah, Arsenal's a good shot, for sure. I'm not sure if they would have the finances they wouldn't have had the finances earlier, but now that his contract is running out, it could be a very interesting race to see who gets him in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Arsenal should have moved on from Aubameyang and Lacazette as a pair probably last summer, when they could have got some value for them. I can't see them starting the season with both of them. And I think it'll probably be Lacazette that leaves rather than Aubameyang. And I think Edouard is significantly younger, nearly a decade younger than Aubameyang, could easily interchange with any others in that front line. I think he could play as a wide attacker should that be what Arteta wants him to do. And I think he's just got more quality than Eddie Nketiah as a backup centre forward. So yeah, and I think he'd learn under Aubameyang as well. He wouldn't come in as a starter. He'd have a few 1 to 2 years underneath him, and then could be potentially a world class striker, I think. Yeah. So Ninad, we are now onto your fifth and final European selection.
Yes, that is correct. This time I am taking you guys to Greece, and I am talking about another player who is in the sort of mold of Neymar. I know we've already mentioned Antony, but this player has been dubbed, rightly so, the Greek Neymar. He is Christos Zolis of PAOK, and really interesting player, very exciting, and the very first thing that stands out is his goal contributions. No under-23 player, in his position, at least in terms of left wingers and midfielders, has contributed more. He's scored and assisted quite a few, and in all competitions he's scored 15 goals in 33 appearances. So hugely impressive. From what I've watched of him, he is, out of all my picks, honestly, I think he has the best end product, at least in comparison with Solomon, Ejuke. He definitely has the best end product out of all of them. He has an interesting backstory to him as well. So when he was really young, I believe he was 13 to 14 when he was playing at the Lennart Johansson Cup as part of PAOK's academy. He was being scouted by Barcelona then. He won the Golden Boot at the tournament and was voted the player of the tournament as well. And because Barcelona were there at that particular tournament, he was immediately dubbed the, next Neymar as such from Greece. So, yeah, coming back to the present, really, really fun player to watch. Another left winger who is good with both of his feet and has an eye for a pass as well. So he shows up really well in terms of his overall attacking metrics. When you look at his ball progression, he is well above average for progressive passes and progressive runs, averaging 4.6 progressive passes and 2.2 progressive runs per 90. He also dribbles not too much. Dribbles a healthy amount, I would say. He's not the Adama Traore or the Alan San Maxima as such, but then attempts 5.04 dribbles per 90 and successfully completes 52%, which I think is fair, is a healthy amount. It's not too much, not too less. But immediately when you watch him, the end product really, is striking. Because when you look at the, sort of the goal contributions across the Greek league, he is, he's at the very, in the upper bracket as such, and is really young as well. He's 23 and, definitely has a hugely exciting future ahead of him, has been, linked with a lot of major clubs around Europe already. So most recently, he's been linked with PSV Eindhoven, RB Leipzig, Borussia Dortmund, Manchester United and Brighton Hove Albion as well are interested in him, judging by what the rumors are saying. So, he's a very exciting player, and also the second most valuable player in the Greek league, according to Transfer Market, depending on how much stock you put into that. So, yeah, he ticks a lot of boxes for me, and just even beyond the numbers, when you watch him, at least in terms of the players that I've scouted so far, he definitely has the best end product and an exciting future ahead of him.
I think he's destined for the Bundesliga. personally.
Yeah.
From watching him, I feel like that's the kind of team that would suit him best, and it would be a sort of natural progression, I feel like. Yeah, definitely.
I completely agree there. You know, like I said earlier, the Bundesliga is honestly, if you can find the club that has the space and the, you know, development structure in place for you to develop and sort of hone your skills, and then somewhere like Borussia Dortmund, for example, that have been linked with him, it could be the perfect place for him to, you know, settle into and develop, because they already have such a, you know, generous group of youngsters. They have Gio Reyna, they have Erling Haaland, they have Jude Bellingham. There's a young core group there, and Zolis would definitely fit right in there.
Absolutely. He's still so young as well, which I think he's got plenty of time to get better. And transfer market has his value at 9 million. But I feel like teams will be able to get him potentially for cheaper than that. Just because of the nature of the league, and especially in COVID times. He also scored in the Euro. He's been quite prolific in the Europa League, hasn't he?
He has. Yeah. That's true. So again, he impressed quite a bit in a very small sample size in the Europa League as well. He had a really impressive campaign in the Europa League. At least in terms of his expected contributions, he averaged 0.49 XG per 90, so which is only second to Fedor Shalov and Ejuke himself. So, really exciting player. And, you know, alongside some of the other players that we've discussed so far, one that will definitely attract the bigger names across Europe in this summer window.
Absolutely, especially when clubs are trying to get those bargain deals.
Absolutely. I think you're right. I think he does strike me as a Dortmund type of winger. He has got that natural flair about him that you could see would attract a team like Dortmund to take a punt on him. Ben, back to you for your final pick.
Right, so Ninad went for the Greek Neymar. I'm going to go with the Austrian Messi. From Rapid Vienna. I think people probably thought, when I picked Austria, I'm going to go with Patson Daka or one of the Red Bull Salzburg players. But I'm going to go for Austria Vienna player called Yusuf Demir, who's just 17. And, a lot of the times when players are called the next Messi, you watch them play and that's absolutely rubbish. It doesn't play like Messi at all. But I watched Demir play. I watched him in a few games. And I have to say, the way he kind of, his burst of pace and the way he runs with the ball is kind of similar to Messi. I don't want to say, he's going to be the next Messi or anything like that, but he does kind of run like Messi. He is very small, and he's blessed with a lot of pace. And when he's in full flow, he's really hard to stop. I think he has the most progressive runs per 90 in the Austrian Bundesliga for under 23 players. Which kind of highlights just how good he is and how effective he is at running forward at the ball. But he also has 7 goals and assists in 21 games, and that's also not bad for a 17-year-old. I think he's being linked with a move to Manchester United, which would probably be a big step up for him, but he looks like a talent. He looks really exciting.
United have shown a willingness to take a punt on on 17, you know, with Diallo, with Police Street. Like, I don't think it'd be that out of the realms of whether it's right or not. I'm not sure, but it wouldn't be that surprising if they did.
I wonder if they have too many of those players now, so maybe they'll be less likely to go for him. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of interest in him regardless. I still think he's going to play another season in the Austrian Bundesliga before he moves on. But no, I really like the way he plays.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, I agree that, you know, I think there's a lot of players like him in his mold, at least at United, in the academy, that are trying to sort of make their way into the first team now. We have quite a few attacking players, you know, sort of in the running. But I could definitely see him sort of make the step up to the Dutch league, for example. And off the top of my head, maybe PSV, because they have a really exciting coach in Schmidt there. And yeah, he could be, you know, another fascinating addition to the plethora of young talent that's already there in the Eredivisie. And it could be an interesting, you know, next step for him.
Absolutely. I think as well, he's also being linked with Barcelona, which would be a... I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if Barcelona make a move for him. Considering their finances, it wouldn't... I could see them taking a punt on a player from the Austrian League. And I think what else I'm kind of looking forward to is see which national team he picks, because he's eligible to play for Turkey. And I think Turkey are really fighting for him. But the Austrian team is really exciting at the moment. And I think it would be interesting to see him line up in that Austrian side, which is a very promising team at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think that, obviously, I think he at 17, he's the youngest player we've discussed, isn't he?
He is, yeah. I think he has to be, yeah.
Yeah, he might be. I think Ninad's pick, Solis, he was born in 2002, and Demir is born in 2003, so they're the two youngest, I think.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's absolutely incredible. I was just wondering whether, because I think when... particularly with players born after the year 2000, there's a lot of excitement comes just in the novelty of having one so young. So like the excitement that United fans had about Diallo and Pellistri, a lot of that comes from the fact that they are so young, and that in itself, that they're at that level at such a young age, is enough to carry a reputation. Like what we've seen of Diallo now in the under-23 shows that he warrants that excitement. But do you think with Demir that his actual ability is worthy of the hype as much as just the fact that he's 17.
I mean, definitely. I think even so, you know, you don't really see a lot of 17-year-olds playing regularly in the Austrian Bundesliga. And he's part of that 2003 generation, which has a few very good players playing elsewhere as well. So I feel like the hype around him is kind of less prominent than it would have been before, because you have the likes of Musiala, Wirtz, Harvey Elliott, and Bellingham, who are already performing from the same age group at a much higher level. So I think the hype around him is kind of not as great as it might have been had he emerged in another era. But I think he's definitely worth the hype that he gets. Obviously, it's just the nature of the football that they're gonna, some of the player's gonna be labeled the next this and that. But you know, he's probably not gonna be anywhere near as good as Lionel Messi. But I can see him making a good career for himself in one of the top five leagues. I think he's definitely destined for a top five league.
Absolutely, yeah. So for my final pick, so if we've had the Austrian Messi, the Greek Neymar, I think my final pick can probably be described as the Danish Solly March, I suppose.
That is very specific.
only because this is Anders Dreyer of Midtjylland and Denmark. Uh-huh. The reason I compare him to Solly March is because he actually signed for Brighton in 2018, so 3 years ago this summer. But he never played. He was there for 2 years, and he was loaned to Heerenveen and St Mirren before he joined Midtjylland in 2020. His 4 goals and 5 assists in the Danish Superligaen this season, as well as 3 goals and 1 assist in the Champions League. But of course, this includes qualifiers because Midtjylland didn't get entered into the full competition. So 2 of those goals came in qualifiers. He performed that was a high profile group against Atalanta, against Ajax, against Liverpool, and he really showed his quality. He scored against Ajax, in which Anthony actually scored the first. He curled an effort in past Onana, and he beat him at his near post. He sort of shaped a curl hit to the far corner, and then beat him at his near post in a really clever effort on goal. And in that game, he had 2 or 3 similar efforts that Onana kept out, and likely would have, you know, it could have been 3-1 to Midtjylland at halftime had it not been for Onana. He also won a penalty in the 1-1 draw against Liverpool, which I'm sure you'll remember, Ben, where he ran beyond Liverpool's incredibly high line and was swept out by Kelleher. He just looks a really tidy winger. I'm not going to say he's a, you know, like a world star in the making, but he looks like he has a level above the domestic Danish league. He's contributing, so either shooting or creating 4 shots a game. Makes 2 interceptions per game domestically, so he's quite a notable presser, and he contributes defensively. Just a really solid winger or attacking midfielder who could add some flair to a range of teams who desperately require it.
Absolutely. I remember watching him against Liverpool, and he did stand out for Midtjylland in that game. He did cause Liverpool's kind of makeshift and very young defensive lineup a lot of problems in that game. And I agree. I think he definitely has the potential to play in England, I'd say. I think he's kind of suited for English football, and he's already had a bit of a taste of that. So I think maybe not Premier League quality yet, but the Championship, he could do well in the Championship.
Definitely, yeah. The two that came to mind were, if he was to go to the Premier League, then I think someone like Newcastle could really do with him, because he doesn't strike me as a luxury player. He looks like someone who will muck in and be happy to work defensively in a stodgy, turgid Newcastle team. And if they get relegated, then his would be a very promising signing. Equally, for someone who might come up, I'd suggest someone like Norwich. If they lose Buendia or Cantwell, I think he's that type of player. He just looks like a Norwich player. I don't know what it is about him. Just to look at him, without even having seen him, if you haven't seen him play, he just looks like a Norwich type player.
I was gonna say the opposite, because he's from Denmark, he looks like a Brentford player for me. The amount of Danish players they take, I could see him ending up at Denmark in Brentford.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, and those kind of different options simplify where he's at. You know, he could play a lower Premier League team, or he could play for a team who's like a strong Championship team. And I don't think that's doing a disservice to his ability. You know, he's played at Heerenveen, he's played in the Champions League, but I think his talent would really stand out in teams such as those.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Really exciting player. I think, you know, I was just wondering, Tom, what do you think is sort of the best quality about him in terms of his position. Obviously, he plays off the right. What do you think is the best asset that he offers coming in off that side?
He has good quality in shooting from range. He showed that in the way that he continually peppered Onana in the Ajax game. With great accuracy, like the goal came from him. He kind of cut onto his left foot into the half space and he curled it at the near post, which in itself is quite a difficult thing to do without either hitting it straight to the keeper or firing it wide your own side. Yeah. Then there were two or three other times where he did it and he went for the far post. So he looks like he's great. He is well versed in using that as a weapon. But equally, there's something about him that's quite scrappy. He's quite he looks like he's quite tenacious. And for someone who's not particularly big, can hold off opposition challenges. And I'm trying to think who he was up against in that Ajax game. I think it would have been, who plays left back, would have been Daley Blind or Taliafico?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, who are versed left backs in this competition. Mm. And he... yeah, he just held his own, and he just looks like someone who's got a great spirit about them, and that's probably what makes me more inclined to say that he'd suit someone at the bottom of the Premier League or at the top of the Championship, because those are some of the scrappiest dogfights that you'll find yourselves in as a team or a player. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So Anders Dreyer from Denmark. That is our 15 picks. Wrapped up, guys. I'm just going to finish off by asking you, if you were to pick one player who you would nail your flag to, mm-hmm. and say, this is my pick for who I think will be a star, who would you plump for Ninad?
I mean, it's a tough one, but like I said, I think Christoph Solis has the best end product out of all of these players. I would have said Manuel Solomon if he had a little bit better in product to him, but I think Solis is the one for me that I would pick as my player pick out of all the five.
Brilliant. And what about you, Ben?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I can't. God, I think I would go for Yusuf Demir, but I feel like it's too early to tell with him yet. I don't know if his if he's shown enough, so I'm gonna be loyal and I'm gonna go for another player made in the Austrian Bundesliga, and that's Attila Salai. I think I can see him going and progressing further than Fenerbahce, and I think he will be playing in the top five league one day. For a centre back, you know, he's still very young. Just turned 23, still got plenty of time. You know, I always say centre backs mature when they're about 25. That's when they really start hitting their peak, and then. So I think he's still learning his trade in a way, and I think in the future, Bundesliga is where he belongs.
Yeah, definitely. I'd definitely agree with you on that. And then I'd probably say more predictably, I'd have to say Antony, really. I think Edouard is probably the next of the one with the next highest ceiling. But I think Antony is quite a rare talent, and internationally and domestically, I think will be potentially a European leading force for years to come. Yeah, so that just about wraps up this podcast. Guys, I just want to say thank you so much for your research and for your time taken out to record this today. Just for our listeners, was there anything you wanted to plug or advertise for our listeners to go and read on our site?
I mean, I would definitely recommend if our listeners aren't already following us, which would be a rare occurrence, but if they aren't already following us, they should be, because we have a lot of exciting Serie A content coming up this month. fingers crossed we get a few across the line, and yeah, it should be a fun month.
Absolutely, Ben.
Just a big thank you for listening. And if I wrote about Attila Salai in our sort of January top five set under most underrated centre backs to watch. So if you want to find out more about him, you can check it out there on the website.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Thank you for listening once again. Take care and bye for now.